So I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 39. And let's stand together as we read God's Word and understand when we say it all comes through Jesus. Paul understood that clearly. As he was taking the gospel to the Gentiles and also preaching it to the Jews, and he was reminding them and telling them and declaring to them that your entire religious system is broken and bankrupt if it doesn't come through Jesus. So if your religious system is all about works, it's all about you trying to please God, it's bankrupt. It can't get you anywhere. And if it doesn't come through Jesus, then God was a masochistic, terrible father to send his son to die on a cross and to suffer for you and me for nothing if you don't have to come through Jesus. As our young people this weekend had a Disciple Now weekend where they had a Friday evening get together, an event, and the group from SWO, the camp that they go to in North Carolina, came and led that and led them in worship. And I got in here on Saturday morning at the very end and had a chance to talk with the young men about it. And they were talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the things that they learned, and it was amazing. And then we talked for a moment about Jesus is either Lord, liar, or a lunatic. That's what he's got to be. He can't be a good prophet and a good man if he's not Lord. Because he claimed to be God. And he said, I am God and you will worship me. Now, if he's not God, he is an absolute liar. And he's a lunatic because he died for a lie that he knew was a lie. So he's either Lord or he's a lying lunatic. So the point is, it all comes through Jesus. It's all about him. Acts 13, verses 38 through 39 says, therefore, my friends, remember, Paul is preaching. And last week we talked about the proper ingredients in a message. And he laid it all out. And he says here, verse 38, so therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Then he says, take care, even though I don't have it here for you to read, but take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. And what that passage is referring to in the Old Testament is that God would use a pagan nation to bring discipline upon the Israelites. And God would get his purpose and his message across to them through a pagan nation. It's something they would never believe. And in the same way, he's saying that the Jews would be the one. Paul, someone like Paul, would be the one to go and bring the message to the Gentiles. In other words, no one would have ever believed that among the Israelites that would take place, that the Jewish people would take the message of Christ to the Gentiles. So it all comes through Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as I've sought to bring this message today and to, Father, bring application, may this message go to whoever needs to hear it. May I get out of the way and be all about you. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. And you You may be seated. So four things I want to point out to you in the message today, but three things that we get through Jesus. Three things that he says here through Jesus, and the fourth thing is an admonition that I want to give you. But three things we get through Jesus here, or that we have. Number one, we have the forgiveness of sins. Verse 38, Paul is preaching to both Jewish people and to Gentiles who don't know about Jesus Christ. And he's saying, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that it's through Jesus you get the forgiveness of sins. It's not through the works of circumcision. It's not through the keeping of the Old Testament law. Because all the law did, the law showed you where you were wrong. But the law couldn't fix you. The law couldn't wash your sins away. I mean, once a year a priest had to go on behalf of the people and offer up a sacrifice, a spotless lamb, but it had to be done on an annual basis for the sins of the people. But when Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, came, there was no more need for a sacrifice ever again, because he was the one and only, the true sacrifice. And once he sacrificed himself for us, we didn't need another. And we don't need another. And so because of that, we have absolute forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And Paul says, that is what we are proclaiming to you. We're telling you that some of you have put your absolute faith in the law and the law only, but Jesus himself said that he came to fulfill the law. He is actually the fulfillment of the entire Bible. And as a matter of fact, we've talked about this before, but from Genesis to Revelation, but even from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament, with any kind of theological understanding and perspective, you understand that every Old Testament book points to Jesus. Everyone. I mean, in Genesis, he is the creator. Correct? Because Colossians tells us, he created all things. Everything was created by him. There's nothing that was made that we see that wasn't created by him. He created it all. He is the creator. In Exodus, we see that he is the deliverer. He is their salvation. He saved his people from bondage and brought them out of Egyptian bondage and through the Red Sea, and he saved them. I mean, we can go on and on throughout the Old Testament. It all points to him, and it's all about him. And so in Jesus, listen, y'all, we have the forgiveness of sins. We have had the amazing experience here at our church of seeing people give their lives to Christ in the last year and in recent days, and it's been glorious. And just 2 weeks ago, you know, we had another young lady pray to receive Christ, and as Allie said, you know, about her family, that you know, the curse has been reversed in her family, and that now a legacy of faith is being built. And you know, and her sister was saved. And by the way, we're going to be contacting you. I'm getting with our secretary Jen this week, and we're going to put together a plan and a day for us to baptize. And we've got several of you who are going to be baptized, and your lives have been gloriously changed. And I want to say to you, as well as to everyone here, that when you gave your heart to Jesus, listen, he forgave you for everything you ever did and everything you ever will do. That doesn't mean that you have a license to sin, and we'll read about that here in just a moment. No, certainly not. But he has forgiven you. When I first became a Christian, and as I began to grow, and as I began to experience Holy Spirit conviction, man, all of a sudden, I started feeling guilty about some of the things I had done to my parents when I was a teenager. And I was having trouble forgiving myself. And it wasn't until some people in my life who helped disciple me and grow me helped me to see that, wait a minute, buddy, you are recalling things that Jesus has forgiven you, and he's wiped them away. He's washed them away. They don't exist anymore. And actually, it's a satanic thing. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he's accusing you of not truly being forgiven by Jesus. And what he's saying to you is that what Jesus did for you is not good enough to wash away your sins. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is that in Christ Jesus, when you give your heart to him, he forgives you. He washes you. Look at what Luke 24, verse 47 says. It says here, "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, for the forgiveness of sins." And then Ephesians 1, 7, look at what the Bible says here. "In him we have redemption," in Christ, "through his blood." What? What do we get through his blood? "The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven if you've received Christ for every immoral thing you ever did, every immoral thought you ever had, every illegal act you ever committed, every dishonest thing you ever did, every lie you ever told. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not a liar." Well, welcome to the club. You just lied. Because you have, in some way or another. And what Paul is reminding them and telling them and preaching to them, while a priest had to go every year to sacrifice an animal, Jesus did it, and he did it one time. And if you'll come to him in faith, that's where you'll find your sins forgiven. Not through the works of the flesh. See, we get it backwards. Isn't that what Satan always does? I mean, God created intimacy between a husband and a wife, and Satan is the one that's perverted it. God created music. He even created Lucifer, that beautiful angel who fell from heaven, and he was actually the minister of music in heaven, and he fell and he wanted to be God himself. And five times in the Bible it says where, I can't remember if it's Isaiah, I believe it's in Isaiah or Ezekiel, but I think it's Isaiah, where Satan says, "I will extol myself above God. I will exalt myself above him. I will do this. I will do that." And he is the one who perverts everything that God has created beautiful. And so what he'll do is he'll try to pervert salvation. And he'll try to say it like this. He'll say, "Listen, you've got to clean yourself up." See, Satan's not going to tell you there is no God, because nature declares that there's a creator. If you got half a brain, you realize some supernatural, intelligent, smart being created all of this. You say, "Well, preacher, I know a lot of smart people that believe that all this came from nothing, and they believe in the Big Bang Theory, and they believe in this, and they believe in that." Notice it's called a Big Bang Theory. And let me tell you something. You were wrong when you said they were smart, because they're not smart if they believe that hocus pocus garbage. They're not very smart. With the way everything is designed and beautiful, and the way God has designed it all, even somebody with half a brain can see that there is a creator. Romans 1 tells us that. It doesn't say half a brain, but it says, you know, you can see in nature what God has created. And so what Satan does is he tries to tell you, "No, there is a God. But what you have to do is you have to measure up. And you have to try to be as good as you can to earn his favor and to earn his acceptance." And so, unfortunately, many people are deceived into thinking that it's their good works, and that they will stand before God and they will be able to declare their their case before God, that my good works gets me here. And God, I'm a good person, and I've done good things, and so therefore that outweighs all the bad that I've ever done. And God says that your righteousness is as filthy rags before Him. You and I don't have the power or the ability to be good enough. We need Jesus Christ. So it's like this. You need to cast yourself upon the mercy of God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need You as my Savior. I beg of You. I implore of You. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. And I'm laying myself before Your mercy. God, please forgive me. And He will forgive you and clean you up. And then you can produce good works for Him. It's not the other way around. It's not doing a bunch of good works and God will deem you to be worthy of getting to heaven. You see the difference? So Paul is preaching to them and saying, listen, your only hope is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So we have the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that amazing? So the pressure's off. You say, well, Pastor, now that I'm a Christian, am I not expected to live a certain way? Sure. Sure, you're a Christian. Here's the thing, though. You're a new creation. You have the power of God living within you. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. So let's go to the second thing. And it's this. We are set free from the penalty and the power of sin because of God's forgiveness. Look at this. He goes here, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes, who puts their faith and trust in Christ, is set free from every sin. Now, I've said this. We are set free from the penalty and the power of sin, not the presence of sin. We live in the world, but we're not of it. The presence of sin is still palatable. It's still here. It's still around. It's still tempting us. But because of what we have in Jesus Christ, first of all, we're free from the penalty of sin. I don't have to go through the second death. I've died to who I am in Jesus Christ. If you become a Christian, you've died to who you are in Christ. You've been made alive with Christ. Your body will die, but the second death is the death of eternal destruction and punishment for eternity. And because of what Jesus did for me, I'm set free from that penalty. But I'm also set free from the power of sin, for sin to have dominion over my life and power over my life. Look at what Romans 6, 1 through 4 says. Look at what it says here. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, because God's grace is so amazing, it doesn't matter what kind of sin I've committed, He can forgive me. His grace is powerful enough. So should I just keep on living like that? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. And how can sin live in us any longer? How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And then look at what Romans 6, verses 6 through 7 says in chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. It says, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And then look at verses 11 through 14. Check this one out. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let it be your master in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. And do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. Wow. So Paul is preaching here, and he says to them, through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. So, before Christ, we were selfish. Before Christ came into our lives and forgave us and transformed us, it was all about our lust, it was all about our passions, it was all about our desires. We had a saying in the Cajun culture that I grew up in, laissez le bon temps rouler. Anybody know what that means? What? Let the good times roll. And what that meant was, and what that means is, eat, live, drink, party, do what you want. Let the good times roll. If it feels good, do it. Live your life the way you want to live it. Party up, baby. And that's why, you know, Louisiana State University is known as probably the number one party college and university in all of America, because it's ingrained in that culture to party, and that you're here for a purpose, and your purpose is to laisser le bon temps rouler, live for yourself, live a degenerate life if you want to. Oh yeah, you sprinkle in family and a little bit of religiosity in that, but for the most part, man, that doesn't change your life. Go live the way you want. But the Bible says that when you receive Christ, you're set free from let the good times roll. And you become one that says, let Jesus be glorified in my life. We are set free from the penalty and the power of sin. Some of you who are babes in Christ, listen to me. You have everything you need in Jesus and in His Word and in His church to grow and overcome that habitual sin that used to rule your life. It doesn't have to rule your life anymore. And as a matter of fact, listen, you have the power through Christ to overcome it. You absolutely do. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sin no longer has to have dominion over you. It doesn't. You don't have to allow hatred and anger to rule your life anymore. You don't have to allow bitterness and jealousy to rule your existence. You don't. Last night, I had the privilege of attending my wife's Christmas party where she works, her company Christmas party. I was interested in two things. I was interested in being my wife's husband. It's very seldom that I go to an event where I'm not seen as the pastor. And so I was relishing the idea of just being a nobody and just hanging out. And the second thing I was looking forward to, guess what? 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 Food. So I've been on a diet, so I knew that Christmas party was coming up. I was able to attend that event with her. And in so doing, I was able to see in my own life what I used to live my life for. And God showed me some things in my life, just in that one little event. I'm not the same person that I used to be because of Jesus. Correct? And He changes you. Oh, and by the way, they were giving out gifts. They were giving out some pretty nice gifts to their employees, so I wasn't eligible for one. I'm not going to tell you what company, so you don't go apply over there, but they were giving out, like, purses to their women employees Sticker price. Sticker was on them, $500 purses. I was like to myself, Penny, if you win the $500 purse, can we sell the purse? I got another deer head I got to buy. But anyway, some women were winning the $500 purse. Some women were winning the $50 gift certificate. Now, just think about this for a moment. If you go to a Christmas party and you don't know anything and you win a $50 gift card, you think, wow, that's pretty nice. That's $50 I didn't know I had, right? But when you see other people winning $500 purses, you're like, I'm getting a measly $50 gift card. And they call my wife's name, and that's what she won, a $50 measly gift card. And the lady, the friend that works with Penny, won a $500 purse. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying we're good people. I'm telling you this. We have a good God. And truly and honestly, deep within our hearts, when that lady came back with that $500 purse, and I said, let me see that beautiful purse. I went, wow. I said, you deserve it. You deserve it. What I'm saying is that in Christ, you're set free from jealousy. And you can truly be happy for other people. And you can rejoice with those who rejoice. See, prior to Christ, man, I'd have been all kind of jealous. See where I'm going? We're set free from the penalty and the power of sin. That power, that sin doesn't have to control you anymore. That lust doesn't have to have dominion over your life. That temptation doesn't, because Jesus is powerful enough to not only save you, but to sanctify you. To set you apart. To make you strong and effective for Him. So we are set free from the penalty and the power of sin. You don't have to give in. You can be victorious over temptation. Absolutely. And as you grow in the Lord and as you mature in Christ, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. This is true. You will win more and more against temptation. Oh, you'll have a few moments and you'll mess up at times. But as you begin to look back on your life and as you begin to see where God brought you from, you'll begin to notice how you've grown and how you've overcome so many things because of the power of Jesus Christ. And sin no longer has to have dominion over you. Jesus is your master, not sin. Number three, the third thing we get through Jesus is we have been justified and declared righteous before God. Justified and declared righteous before God. Boy, when I hear two things, I get irritated. Well, the man upstairs. Let me tell you what I think about when somebody says the man upstairs. When I went to preschool, the lady's house at preschool that we went to, her name was Mrs. Hargrave. Her husband, we only knew him as Papa Bear. Apparently, you know, he was sick and he wasn't well, but he loved to smoke cigars. And you could smell the cigar smoke. I'm sorry, it wasn't cigar, it was pipe. You could smell the pipe smoke coming down the stairs, you know, to where we were as kids. I never saw Papa Bear. He was always the man upstairs. And when people say that God's the man upstairs, I think of some old guy that's toward the end of his life smoking a pipe, choking the kids to death. God's not the man upstairs, oblivious to what's going on in His creation. That's so disrespectful to say that about Him. He is the creator of the universe. He is the judge. And the second thing that irritates me is when I hear people say, well, you know, preacher, when I get there, I'm going to plead my case before God. You think you're going to have any standing before God on your own? I've got no standing for God. I won't be able to say to God, God, I was a preacher. I was a pastor of Jonesville Baptist Church, and that should be accounted unto me for righteousness. And if that's what I'm standing on, God would say to me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what he would say to me if that's what I'm depending on my salvation to be. You're not playing around. This is not going to be a court where you can have your way and appeal. You're talking about the judge of the universe. But Paul says something interesting here, and he tells them this. He says, through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. The law of Moses declared you guilty. You weren't able to get that justification, but because of what Jesus has done, God has declared you righteous. And the penalty of what you committed has been paid for. And I declare you righteous. Look at what 1 Corinthians says. Oh my gosh. If you want to get me excited, let me read 1 Corinthians. Oh, guess what? We're going to read it. 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor, and sexual immorality is every sexual sin. Not, it's all sex, not confined to biblical marriage. A man and one woman. One man, one woman. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. But, here's what the scripture says. And such were, or that is what some of you were. Somebody tell me what tense is that verb were. Past. That's what you were. But, I love the conjunction but in this situation, but you were washed. What were you washed in? The blood of Jesus. You were sanctified. That means you were separated for God's holy use. And you were what? Justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So when God looks at you and me, he sees the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we are declared righteous because of what Jesus did for us. Because we were something else, but we're not that anymore. Because of what Jesus did for us. And he has justified you and me. He has sanctified us and set us apart for God's holy use. And he has washed us in his blood. Let me just say this to you. Those of you, listen, those of you who have had issues with alcohol, and you maybe have gone through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am not putting down that program. If you have found help and victory through that, amen. I'm happy about that, okay? One thing I disagree with them, one of the major disagreements I have, is I don't believe in a lifetime sentence. I don't believe in a lifetime sentence. And so you don't say, my name is Corey Sheremy and I'm an alcoholic. No, my name is Corey Sheremy and I've been washed in the blood and I'm not that anymore. I'm a bought, blood-bought child of God and I belong to him and I'm a Christian and sin no longer has dominion over my life. You're not an alcoholic anymore. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as an alcoholic. He doesn't look at you as a drug user. He doesn't look at you as an adulterer. He doesn't look at you as a homosexual. He doesn't look at you as some immoral person. He looks at you as a washed person in the blood of Jesus, and you're righteous because of what Jesus has done. That's what justification is. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. You're new. And we have been declared righteous before our God. Cameron, you see why I couldn't just pass through all of that? Cameron, we were talking this morning about hey, are you finishing up? Are you going into the next chapter? And I'm like, man, I'm not even finished chapter 13 yet. Because I got when I say I got stuck, I don't mean that in a negative way. I got stopped in my tracks with this right here and said, man, there's too much theology right here to just go right through it. So with that said, number four, so what about you? So what about you? With this message, what about you? If you're not a Christian, you have two choices. Here they are. The first is to receive the truth and believe. It's not complicated. Receive the truth of Jesus Christ and His way and believe, and all these other things that we talked about today will happen. They will become yours. The second choice is to reject the truth and stay condemned. What do you mean, condemned? I don't have the scripture up there, but in John chapter 3, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world was already condemned. He's come to free the world. He has come to save the world. He has come to forgive the world, but you got to come through Him. So what about you? If you're not a Christian, you have those two choices, to receive the truth and believe, or to reject the truth and stay condemned. God wants you to receive the truth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in Christ. So what about you, Christian? You've already made that decision to receive the truth and believe. Are you allowing sin and temptation to continue its mastery over your heart and life? Paul has said to us, the Word of God has said to us, I'm saying to you, you don't have to live under that bondage. You've been set free by Jesus, and you don't have to live there anymore. You're clean in Christ because of what God did for you. And you're free to go live the life that God has for you. You don't go live with arrogance. You don't go live thinking you're better than anybody else, because you're not. You're actually, the Bible says we're a priesthood, a special nation. And you have the heart that God has. You want others. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why Jesus came. You want everybody to know this. You want everybody to know this freedom. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know a lot about theological things, but I knew this. I know I once was lost, and now I'm found. And I knew what had happened within me, and I knew I was instantaneously changed. And I knew I was washed and I was cleansed, and I knew that something supernaturally had changed me. And I wanted all my loved ones to have what I had. I wanted my parents to have it. I wanted my brother to have it. I wanted my sisters to have it. I wanted my grandfather and my grandmother to have it. I wanted my friends to have it. I wanted them all to have it. So Christian, are you living in such a way that your life can be pointed to as someone to say, look, there is a human being still struggling and still imperfect, but look at the transformation that's taken place in that person's life for the glory of God. That's what God can do in somebody's life. Through Jesus, it all comes through Him. Let's stand together, everybody. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can have these things through Jesus Christ. It all comes through Him. So I pray this morning, Father, that this message, as it has been delivered to our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we would be responsive. We would receive the truth by faith and trust what You've done for us. And as Christians, we once and for all would set our our heart in the right direction, in the right position to know that we have a God who wants us to live overcoming sin, and that we don't have to be slaves of sin any longer. So, Father, I pray for victory in the hearts and in the lives of your people and those who may receive you today. And if you're wanting to receive him, how do I do it, Pastor? Call upon him right where you are. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So right now, right while I'm talking, he can hear all of it. Just say it in your heart. Say it to him. Reach out to him. He hears your heart, and he knows what your intent is. And say, Father, I'm a sinner. I need you. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus, and right now, I'm giving you my life. Bring about the transformation. I believe that Jesus died, rose from the dead, and is coming back again. Call upon him. Believe in him. Put your faith and trust in him. And if you are seeking that right now and you are speaking that to God right now, he has already saved you. He has just saved you. And now I encourage you to trust him, to be part of a New Testament church, to come and make your decision public and confess him before men. And then we'll help you in taking those steps toward baptism and growing. So, Father, we thank you for all that you have done here in this place today, this morning. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. As our worship team leads us, you can come forward, you can pray, you can worship. This is your time to let the truth of the message be sealed in your life and heart.